Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tom, and today we're going to be talking about dancing, right?
Mm-hmm. Modern dance, to be specific. Isadora Duncan is probably the mother of dance, modern dance, that is. I had to take modern dance in college, and I have to admit, it's not my favorite kind of dance. You have to shape your body in weird forms, and your feet look awkward. I prefer jazz and tap and even ballet, but she really is responsible for creating this type of dance.
So modern dance is very specific. It's not just like anything you want to do.
Oh, no.
It has specific movements
and
specific ways to train.
Yes.
Things like that.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so not everybody can do this, right?
No, you have to be a trained dancer.
Do they borrow elements like from ballet and hip-hop and jazz dance and
not
things like
hip-hop,
that?
Some jazz,
How about rumba or cha-cha-cha?
No, no. That's called ballroom dancing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this is modern dance, and I suppose you're not going to see older women down in parks doing modern dance anytime soon. You'll probably see them doing ballroom dancing down there.
Perhaps,
but modern
yeah.
dance, I think, is more for performance, right?
Yeah, younger people who have very strong athletic bodies.
And if you have strong athletic bodies and you get into modern dance, you could make a ton of money.
Not really.
Really?
No.
You could be a star, though, right?
No, I don't know any stars of modern dance. You dance in groups. It's not so much a soloist kind of art like ballet could be.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, what kind of dance do those pop singers like Jolene Tsai or Elva Hsiao, what kind of dance do they do in their performance? Is that like modern dance?
That's completely different, yeah.
Oh, okay, so there's no really word for what they do, huh? It's so special.
Well, it depends on what they're doing. They could be doing hip-hop.
Okay, yeah. Could be indeed, but we're going to be talking about modern dance and kind of the grandmother of modern dance, Isadora Duncan, dancing freely. Let's find out what this is all about, everybody. Let's read through today's lesson in its entirety right now. In the performance, the dancers glide across the stage with poise and grace. There is a look of joy and enthusiasm on their faces as they move and sway amidst an assortment of flowing tapestries. This show could only be choreographed by one person, one of the most revolutionary dance teachers, the legendary Isadora Duncan. Duncan was born in San Francisco, California in 1877. From an early age, she was intent on doing things her own way. As a child, Duncan's parents allowed her to drop out of school after the youngster complained that the curriculum was too rigid and suppressed her individuality. As a result, she never received much formal education. However, this allowed Duncan to dedicate most of her time to studying the subjects she truly loved. Duncan's mother, who was a piano teacher, served as an inspirational mentor to her and taught her about music, poetry, and the rest of the fine arts. But in the end, Duncan seemed to find her calling in dance, and she quickly progressed as a student. Her family was very poor, so Duncan began teaching dance classes when she was just a teen. In 1895, Duncan moved to New York City and worked for a noted theater company for a brief stint. She wasn't satisfied there, so Duncan relocated to Europe, where she would live for the rest of her life. Although she did not receive much recognition in the U.S., it only took a few months before she was a sensation overseas.
So we're going to focus on a very famous woman, at least in the dance world, Isadora Duncan. You can see some film of her dancing. Even at an older age, she was still dancing. And it's kind of fun to watch. She lived long ago, and so the film quality is quite bad. It's black and white, but it's fun to see. I got to see some of that film when I was in college. Now, in the performance, we're describing something that we're seeing right now. Just pretend you can see it. The dancers glide across the stage with poise and grace. Now, when you talk about a performance, it's someone who gets up and performs, of course. You can perform lots of different things. Here we're talking about something that's artistic, but you could also perform some sort of action. You performed well on the test today. Congratulations. You could say it that way, too. So here we're talking about something that's presented in front of an audience, so that they can appreciate it. It could be drama, music, or dance. It occurred to me, as Tom was reading, that Cloudgate is a good representation of a modern dance group. That's modern dance. So if you ever go and see their shows, which are really amazing, you're watching modern dance.
And the dance that people do nowadays is called modern dance, or is there such a thing called post-modern dance?
No, there's no post-modern dance.
Not yet, okay. But in any case, this is an example of what you might see in this performance. They're going to be gliding across the stage with the greatest of ease. To glide means to move across something without power, okay? Maybe you glide when you ride your bicycle and you stop pedaling for a while. You glide, okay? Or you coast. You're moving gracefully across a surface as if you are flying.
That's right. So you're really not picking up your feet very far from the stage floor. You're keeping close to the floor and you look really beautiful doing it. Poise is a word we use when someone has a lot of confidence, they're very calm, and that's what these dancers look like. And grace, of course, is a word we use to describe someone who looks very beautiful as they are performing some sort of action. It's a style they have. You can dance with grace. You can even say someone writes with grace if it's really a beautiful style. Now, there's a look of joy and enthusiasm on their faces as they move and sway amidst an assortment of flowing tapestries. We know what move means. Sway means you kind of move back and forth. You know, if there's a nice gentle breeze outside, you'll see tall grass sway, or even flowers and trees, things like that. Now, amidst is just a preposition that simply means among, or you might see it substituted for amid. It means in the middle of something.
And they are gliding and swaying amidst an assortment of flowing tapestries. So they're in the middle of these things. It's an assortment here. You could also say a variety of, lots of different things there. And to me, a tapestry is some kind of artwork that is put on the wall, like a carpet or something like that. But here I think they're talking about the costumes that the other dancers are wearing, or maybe some of the props there. So they could actually be real tapestries there. But yeah, some kinds of cloth works of art that are on the stage for whatever reason.
Or maybe on the stage they've hung some tapestries. I really only see this word used as describing some piece of artwork that's made of a heavy woven cloth. You see a lot of tapestries if you go to Europe. They're wall hangings. It's like looking at a piece of artwork, except it is cloth. It looks like a carpet that's hung on the wall with a beautiful scene that's been woven into it.
Cool.
In the Renaissance, they had a lot of tapestries in the Baroque period as well.
Mm-hmm.
But she loved flowing costumes, and so perhaps they are referring to that. We're not real sure.
And this show or this performance could only be choreographed by one person, one of the most revolutionary dance teachers the world has ever known, the legendary Isadora Duncan. So here we have the verb to choreograph. You may have heard of someone called a choreographer. That's tricky in pronunciation. It's kind of similar to photography and photograph, okay? The accents change on that word, and it's the same case with choreographed. Choreograph as a verb has the accent on the first syllable, choreograph, whereas the person is choreographer, the accent is a little later in the word.
And what he does is choreography.
That's right. That's the actual art or science
putting
that they practice.
Putting together steps, yeah.
For like dance performances and things like that. It'll only be for like those types of performances, right? You wouldn't have a choreographer for a symphony orchestra, right?
No, but sometimes for dramas, which are not filled with music or anything, they'll actually invite a choreographer in to place the actors on stage. But it's very special.
Okay. And we have the word revolutionary here, and that's an adjective. It describes someone or something that is new and hasn't been done before. So, yeah, some people may not like it because they're used to the way things were done before, but some people might like it. They're looking for something new and refreshing, revolutionary.
Yeah, she did change dance because up until that point, dancers always wore shoes to dance.
Oh, no.
And she thought, hey, let's get rid of those shoes, but we'll talk more about that in a little while. Let's talk about her background. She was born in San Francisco, California, way back in 1877. And even as a young child, she was intent on doing things her own way. Oh, I have a niece like this. We call her stubborn or very independent. Either word applies sometimes. When you can't get little kids to do what you want them to do, they really have a very strong personality. We'll describe kids like that. If you're intent on doing something, that means that's what you are determined to do. And she was intent on doing things her own way. She didn't want to follow other people.
So, yeah, she was determined to do these things. And again, she was born in San Francisco. Toward the end of the 19th century there, she was intent on doing things her own way. She wanted to do those things. And as a child, her parents allowed her to drop out of school after she complained the curriculum was too rigid and that curriculum suppressed her individuality. Okay, so yeah, the parents were pretty nice. They said, oh, Isadora, you don't like school. Well, that's okay. You can drop out. We won't force you to keep studying there. We're understanding parents. The youngster or the young child complained that the curriculum was too rigid, and the curriculum here just refers to all the courses that you have to take in school.
If you describe something as being rigid, it means it just is very stiff. It doesn't bend. It's not flexible. You could say someone has a very rigid posture. The way they stand is very straight. But if someone's personality is too rigid, they really don't want to do things any way but their own. They want what they want. They are very stubborn. Now, if you suppress something, we use this word to talk about keeping control of something, keeping something down. You might have to suppress a smile in class if a classmate does something that's funny, but you don't want your teacher to see you laughing. You'd suppress a smile. Or sometimes you have to suppress emotions. I know this is kind of a weird example, but I have to sing at funerals sometimes, and sometimes I have to suppress my emotions. I can't just cry, because if you cry, you can't sing. It closes up your throat. So we use that to talk about holding down something, not letting it out. And what's someone's individuality?
Well, how different they are from other people, right? Your individuality, what you want to do yourself. You don't want to be like everybody else. You have your own ideas and you want to express those ideas. She was different. She was gifted. So she wanted to express herself and express her individual personality. She wanted to be unique. Okay, everybody, we'll continue to discuss the life and times of Isadora Duncan in just a couple of seconds. But right now, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny. 今天我们要介绍的是第五单元，谈的是人物介绍。这位人物呢，是位有名的舞蹈家，他叫 Isadora Duncan。好，首先我们就看在舞蹈表演里面，你会看到舞者们在舞台上 glide across the stage， 滑过舞台，然后呢，带着一种 poise and grace。Poise 是沉稳自信， Grace 是一种优雅的姿态，所以他们滑过舞台的时候既自信又优雅。接下来又说了，在他们脸上呢是带着喜悦带着热情的。当他们 move and sway amidst an assortment of flowing tapestries， 这边提到了 move and sway， 那是指律动摇摆，而他律动摇摆的时候呢，他是在什么当中 ？Amidst， 在什么当中？在什么当中？在各式各样的这种飘逸的挂毯当中。好 ，an assortment of 就是各式各样的。当然，他提到这个挂毯这种随风飘扬的感觉，他就用 flowing。好，接下来他又说了，那这场舞蹈表演当中呢，你可以感觉得出来，诶，这舞到底是谁编的？他说到了，就是我们的主角，他呢就是最具有革命性的舞蹈教师之一，传奇的 Isadora Duncan。好，我们继续来看下一段。这位有名的舞蹈家，他的出生背景是怎么样？他呢是美国人，出生在加州，时间是1877年。那这边又提到了，他从很小的时候，他就怎么样呢？ She was intent on doing things her own way. Be intent on. Intent 中间这个形容词代表热切的，专注的。所以说一个人 is intent on something 就表示他是专注于某件事。那因为 on 是介系词，所以后面的动作就要改成 ving， 这就是为什么你看到 doing。 那他很喜欢，他专注于做，用他自己的方法来做他想做的事情。那提到说，当他还是小孩子的时候呢，他的父母就接受他的想法，让他呢可以中途辍学。他认为说学校的课程实在是太无聊了，看到学校的课程这个字是 curriculum， 他认为不但是很 rigid， 也就是非常非常的死板，然后会压抑他的 individuality， 好，会压抑他的个人特质。因此说他父母就说你可以不要上学，辍学 drop out of school， 这个片语要稍微留意一下。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back with more English Digest.
Let's resume our lesson. Remember, we're talking about Isadora Duncan, the founder of modern dance. And again, she was born in San Francisco. But she didn't like school because the curriculum was too rigid. It wasn't flexible enough.And that curriculum suppressed her personality, her individuality. So, as a result of that, she never received much formal education. It wasn't for her. She left school and she said, that's not for me. I don't belong there, so I'm going to do my own thing. I can't imagine a lot of parents being happy with a decision like that.
Yeah, but think about the times. When she was growing up, it was kind of a hard period. There wasn't a lot of money, and if you were poor, you were really poor.So I'm sure it kind of helped her parents, maybe, that she dropped out of school. I can't imagine it being accepted today, though, when education is really pressed and pushed. You have to go to school. In fact, nowadays, people want to know that you graduated from college, right?
With honors.
I know.
And that you went to Harvard or Cambridge.
You can learn a lot if you're intellectual and if you're smart. You just teach yourself a lot of things.And you don't have to go to school to be smart. Some people are born smart and they know how to educate themselves. What she did was took that time that she had that she wasn't in school and she started studying subjects that she really, truly was interested in. And sometimes when you're studying things you love, you learn a lot more than things you're forced to study in school.
Yeah, I was going to say, add something to the point you made about going to university.
Yeah?
University doesn't make you smarter.
No.
It makes you more educated. It doesn't have anything to do with being smart or not.
With intelligence, yeah.
Intelligence, right. There are some very intelligent, very smart people who work in the farm fields.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget that.
Sure.
Okay, well, Duncan's mother, who was a piano teacher, served as an inspirational mentor to her and taught her about music, poetry,and the rest of the fine arts, which might include music and painting and sculpture and all that fine stuff. So her mother was a piano teacher. So there you go. There's kind of a start there, something that may have helped spark her career there, playing, Chopin or stuff like that. And she was inspirational. Inspirational is an adjective here. It describes something that's inspirational.Something that inspires you. You get the ideas from something and you say, hey, I like that thing and I would like to do something like that myself. It's very inviting.
Mm-hmm. Something that gives you inspiration is something that's usually getting your creative juices flowing. For some people, it's music. For others, it's seeing a good movie or going to a show. It can be lots of different things. For some people, just being outdoors and seeing...beautiful scenic scenes in nature inspires them to do something really creative. So her mother was her mentor. Your mentor is someone we describe as being not just a teacher, but a very close friend. So you could talk about a professor being a mentor that really took a personal interest in your growth. You know, a lot of professors, they're busy doing their own research.I had a mentor in college.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you had one.
Oh, yeah. And he was concerned about whether I was auditioning, what progress I was making. He cared about my success and growth. It wasn't just about, if I got the paper turned in time in class.
So, sounds kind of like you're talking about an academic advisor, but that would be different,
no,
right?
No. He was a music teacher who really kept in touch with me to see how well I did after I left school and started singing.So a mentor is someone that you're close to, but is also teaching you about things you really care about. Her mother was like that, and even though she wasn't in this educational surrounding, like school, Her mom taught her a lot about music, poetry, and like Tom said, the rest of the fine arts.
So she could pick and choose there. Wow, should I be a poet like Shakespeare? Should I paint like Matisse or something like that? But in the end, she found her calling in dance. And your calling is kind of like your destiny. What you're here on the earth for, what your role is, what role you're going to play in society. So that was her calling. She heard that calling. Hey, Isadora, come here. We want you to be a dancer. So she followed that calling, and the rest is history.
Yeah, that calling she heard was probably within herself, inside herself. People find their callings in different things. Some people feel like their calling is to be a teacher. It doesn't have to be related to your vocation or your career where you make your living. You could find it in religion. You know, a lot of people turn to that to find their calling in serving God. Maybe they're Buddhist monks or maybe Catholic nuns, things like that. Well, she loved dance. And because of her love, she progressed as a student. And that happens a lot when you're doing something you're very, very excited about.
But her family was very poor. They didn't have a lot of money, so she had to make money on the side by teaching dance classes when she was just a teen. A teen is somebody between the ages of 13 and 19, before they're adults, but not really children anymore. And in 1895, Duncan moved to New York City and worked for a noted theater company for a brief stint. Noted here just means famous. People have noted it or recognized it. And a stint is just a period of time. Usually it's a short period of time. So a brief stint, a short stint. And again, usually something involving a job. Like I had a brief stint in the army before they kicked me out.
Oh, that's bad if you've been kicked out of the army.
Well, it's just an example. They'd never kick me out. I'm a very brave soldier.
I think they'd like you. Mm. Well, she wasn't really satisfied at that noted theater company, so she moved. She relocated to Europe. I told Tom before our program started, I always thought that Isadora Duncan was European. Mm. She kind of looks European if you see pictures of her, and she spent the rest of her life in Europe after she moved at that point.
There are quite a few Americans who left America and went to live in Europe. I guess they heard certain opportunities there that aren't available so much in America, and vice versa, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And again, she would live there for the remainder of her days. And although she did not receive much recognition in the U.S., it only took a few months before she was a sensation overseas. Ooh, now recognition means people recognize you or they know you. Not only that, but they also know that you're famous and know that you're good at something and they pay attention to you. And as a result, you earn a very high salary.
I think the arts, especially the fine arts, were probably more developed in Europe at that point than the United States. The United States was just getting started as a country.
Well, they just invented baseball then, so I suppose they were busy watching baseball games then.
They could have been, yes.
Didn't have time to watch those dumb dance performances.
No, no. So she went over there and did very well. It only took a few months before people thought she was a very big sensation. Things can be sensations. Maybe you've seen a movie that you thought was terrific, was really exciting. There's a lot of interest in it. It would be described as being a sensation. Well, she did very, very well. And I guess the recognition she failed to find in the U.S. Found her in Europe. But she did eventually become very famous in the U.S. as well.
And she probably went there to visit from time to time.
Oh, yeah.
And went back to San Francisco to visit the folks. Who knows? Well, we're going to continue talking about Isadora Duncan in our next program, too. Make sure you join us then. But right now, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher again.
好，我们接下来看。那从小，Duncan 他其实就没有到学校上课。那因为这样，所以他也就没有接受太多的正规教育了。Duncan 因为没有上学，所以他就把时间专心的放在他喜欢的科目上。看到这里有一个动词 dedicate， 我们知道 dedicate 它后面呢、加时间加精力，然后你加一个介系词的 to， 再接你专注于什么事物上。好，这里就说他投注于他真正喜欢的科目。接下来下一段又提到他的母亲对他的影响。首先我们看看他的母亲职业是一位钢琴教师。对他来说，他写到了 served as an inspirational mentor to her。好，看到 inspirational. 我们晓得 inspire 是表示启发，给谁灵感。那所以这个形容词 inspirational 可以说是一个启发他心灵的一位 mentor。mentor 就是心灵导师。因此说起来，他的妈妈对他影响深远。他就接着继续说了，他不但教他音乐，教他诗，还有呢，教他其他艺术。后来 Duncan 他最后找到在艺术方面他最喜欢的，那就是 dancing 了。好，这边有一个字我们稍微提一下，他提到 find her calling in dance。 calling、这个字呢，如果当名词来使用，你可以说是一个人的使命感，那当然也可以说是一个人的职业，一个人的事业。那这边可以说他好像是找到他的天职，职业上他认定了这个应该就是他将来要走的方向。而且呢，他在舞蹈这方面他可以说是进步神速， progressed，这个是动词，动词的用法表示进步的意思。再来，因为我们知道他的家庭其实经济情况并不是很好，所以 Duncan 他还小，当时还是个青少年，就开始开班授课当老师了。好，接下来又提到1895年他搬到了纽约。在这边他呢，当时是在一个很有名的一个剧团里短暂的工作过。我们知道 noted这个字是一个形容词，就相当于 famous， 所以说这是一个很有名的剧团。而在这里呢，他工作只工作了一点点的时间， a brief stint。 stint 意思就代表、你从事某一个工作或某一个活动的时间。那因为他说是一个 brief stint， 意思就是工作的并不久。那后来呢，在这个工作上面他也没有很满意，也不感到满足，因此他下一步呢relocated to Europe. relocate 就代表移居，他移居到了欧洲去。那在欧洲呢，他接下来这一生之后就在那边过了。那其实在美国的时候， Duncan 基本上并没有得到很大的回响，可是你知道吗，他在欧洲只花了几个月的时间，可以说他的舞蹈就已经享誉海外了。注意到这个字 sensation， sensation 意思就是轰动，他在海外的时候造成了一股轰动。
Well, this is just day one of our people unit. We're learning more about Isadora Duncan, the mother of modern dance. She didn't live long, but she sure made her mark. A lot of people refer to her when they're talking about dance. She changed dance in a lot of ways.
Let's talk about her next time and make sure you join us then to listen to us talk about her. For English Digest, my name is Tom.
I'm Stephanie. Goodbye.
Goodbye.